Welcome to the deep dive. We're tackling something today that sits right at this really wild intersection of cutting-edge computing and just the raw, incredibly messy reality of modern parenting.
Yeah, messy is definitely the word
And
for it.
absolutely. I mean, if you have kids in your life, or even if you just, observe the culture right now, you are definitely familiar with the universal anxiety of screen time.
The glowing rectangle guilt.
Exactly. You hand over a tablet to buy 30 minutes of peace to just drink your coffee, and it's instantly followed by this creeping guilt of wondering what that screen is actually doing to a developing brain.
Gross.
So the central tension we are exploring for you today is whether we can bypass that screen entirely. Like, what if there was a way to deliver the absolute magic of personalized AI and immersive spatial computing, completely screen-free?
And the documents we're looking at today suggest that bridging that gap is not just some, theoretical parenting dream.
Yeah.
It is a highly engineered, imminent
We
reality.
have a massive stack of sources today.
We really do.
We've got a highly confidential investor brief, really dense hardware and software architecture schematics.
The diagrams alone are fascinating.
Seriously. Plus a four-phase project management timeline, a comprehensive market study, and the actual system blueprint for the device called the AI Story Companion.
Which is just a fascinating case study in edge-to-cloud infrastructure, precise market entry strategies, and privacy by design.
Right. So our mission for you today is to pull all of these sources apart. We are going to unpack how this modular ecosystem actually functions, look at the multi-billion-dollar white space in the smart toy market, and figure out how they are balancing advanced AI with ironclad child privacy.
There is a lot to get into here.
Okay, let's unpack this because the data in the market study paints a really stark picture of the consumer psychology here.
Yeah, the Pew data.
Exactly. A 2025 Pew Research Center survey explicitly states that 86% of parents cite managing screen time as a key day-to-day priority. It dominates their decision-making.
But the actual behavior doesn't match the goal.
Not at all. The reality on the ground is that kids are averaging 21 hours a week on screens.
Wow.
And that is an enormous delta from the 9 hours a week those exact same parents actually consider to be healthy.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that anxiety and that guilt translate directly into a massive market opportunity. The global smart toy market was valued at $18.1 billion in 2024.
18 billion.
Yeah, and it's on a trajectory to hit approximately $38 billion by 2030.
That is wild.
And when you overlay that with the AI and education sector, which is currently compounding at a massive 31% annual growth rate, you see a consumer base that is highly motivated to pay for alternatives.
And we can see that willingness to pay playing out right now with the current market leaders,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
The documents highlight Toniebox and Yotto. These are two massive players in the screen-free audio space. Toniebox pulled in 481 million euros in revenue in 2024.
Which was a 33% jump.
Yeah. And Yotto grew 86% to hit 94.8 million pounds. So they have clearly validated the core premise. Parents will absolutely open their wallets for screen-free audio players.
They validated the hardware category for sure, but they also exposed a fundamental limitation in their own business models.
Which is the static content.
Exactly. Toniebox and Yotto rely entirely on pre-recorded static audio. If a parent wants a new story on a Toniebox, they have to physically go out to a store or go online and buy a new plastic figurine for 15 to 20 euros.
Or buy those physical content cards for the Yotto.
Right. It's an excellent high-margin model for the manufacturer, obviously. But from the kid's perspective, the story is entirely static. It never adapts. The AI Story Companion is engineered to attack this exact limitation.
By using real-time, infinitely replayable, personalized stories.
Generated dynamically by AI.
So let's look at the system blueprint to see how they actually plan to deliver that real-time AI into a bedroom. It is a stackable hardware ecosystem based on magnetic pogo pin connectors.
Right, think of how a premium smartwatch snaps onto his charger.
Just scaled up. So
Exactly.
you have various physical modules that stack on top of each other, instantly sharing power and high-speed data. And at the core of the stack is the AI audio cube.
The brain of the operation.
Yeah, the only component that actually possesses a brain. It is 200 millimeters on all sides, roughly 8 inches. And the compute module, the battery, and the speakers are all housed right there in the single base unit.
Which is a very deliberate supply chain strategy. Centralizing the compute power keeps the manufacturing costs of the expansion modules incredibly low.
Because the pieces you stack on top are essentially just dumb projectors.
Exactly. They just rely on the cube's processor.
And I love the physical design of that cube because it speaks directly to the friction between the tech and the user. It is aggressively parent-centric.
So smart.
The front face, the side the child looks at, is completely smooth. No buttons for a toddler to mash. Just a speaker grill, a glowing 16 LED RGB ring for visual feedback, and a single camera lens.
And all the controls are hidden.
Right on the back face, exactly. Four tactile buttons. Power, volume up, volume down, and a camera capture button. Plus, a USB-C port.
The expansion modules are really what transformed this from a basic audio player into a spatial computing device.
Tell me about those.
The hardware documents detail three distinct dumb projector modules. The one projector module is 100 millimeters high and throws an image straight forward onto a single wall.
Okay.
Then the four sides module, also 100 millimeters high, projects in all four directions simultaneously, effectively painting the entire geometry of the room.
Like total immersion.
Right. And then there is the dome. It's a shorter 50 millimeter piece that projects a fisheye image straight up onto the ceiling. The documents actually note this is specifically optimized for bedtime stargazing narratives.
Oh, that's clever. And there's a base station too, right?
Yeah, 30 millimeter docking station at the bottom. But it's purely an accessory for pass-through power and an HDMI connection. The cube charges perfectly fine on its own via the USB-C.
Looking at the financials, their pricing strategy seems perfectly designed to undercut the recurring costs of Tonybox and Yodo. The base cube retails for 129 euros.
Against an estimated target build cost at scale of 98 to 135 euros.
So they are barely breaking even on the hardware.
Right, because the real margin comes from the software subscription.
Modeled at 7 to 12 euros a month. I mean, for a parent, paying 10 bucks a month for infinite personalized content is a highly competitive proposition compared to dropping hundreds of euros a year on physical figurines that a kid is just going to outgrow anyway.
It totally upgrades the traditional recurring revenue model for the generative AI era.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Yes, the friction point.
Because if a parent stacks the four sides module and the dome onto the cube, they have just placed seven distinct camera lenses into their child's bedroom.
It sounds alarming.
I have to stop on that exact point because I'm looking at these schematics and counting those lenses. One on the front of the cube, one pointing down on the dome, one pointing forward on the one projector, and four pointing outwards on the four sides module.
That's seven cameras.
We are talking about a demographic of parents who literally put electrical tape over their laptop webcams. Pitching a seven-camera sensor tower for a toddler's nightstand sounds like a total public relations disaster. How do the engineering docs justify that?
They treat it as the single most critical point of failure for the entire business. But the utility of those module cameras is strictly spatial.
Meaning they aren't recording video.
Exactly. They are not capturing video. They are executing projection mapping. When the device boots up, the cameras scan the physical geometry of the room. They calculate the angles of the walls, account for furniture, fix the keystone effect, and blend the edges of the projected images.
So they don't look distorted.
Yeah.
So if a kid places the cube at a weird, haphazard angle on a messy desk, the AI automatically warps the projected image, so the magic castle on the wall still looks perfectly flat and rectangular.
Yes. But the safety features layered on top of those lenses are what really stand out to me. Let's look at the safety auto-dimming function on the one projector module.
Because the obvious physical risk of a projector is a kid staring directly into the laser beam.
Right. To mitigate that, the engineering team isn't relying on a basic proximity sensor. The camera on that specific projector module runs an on-device T-Flight MobileNet SSD model.
That's a mouthful. What does that mean in practice?
It means they have managed to compress a highly complex computer vision model down to a size where it can run entirely on the local processor.
Oh.
No internet connection needed.
Oh, wow.
It continuously executes real-time person detection. The moment a child's face breaks the plane of the projector beam, the system identifies the human geometry and cuts the light output within 200 milliseconds.
That is faster than the blink of an eye.
Literally.
Mm.
And it allows the device to meet strict EN 62471 photobiological safety standards for eye protection.
That is a serious engineering feat to run locally. But even with auto-dimming and room mapping, The psychological hurdle of a camera in the bedroom remains.
True.
The way they solve this on the main cube camera is so fascinating because it is entirely physical. They didn't build a software toggle in an app because software requires trust.
And parents don't trust software in the bedroom.
Exactly. The ultimate privacy mitigant is a mechanical privacy slide. It is a physical 12-millimeter tab located on the back of the device. When a parent slides it, it clicks into a hard detent and physically drops a blinder over the lens.
That physical detent click is a brilliant piece of psychological design. It gives the parent tactile proof that the device is blind.
And the privacy architecture extends to the software too. The system is fully COPPA compliant. Voice audio is processed in flight.
Meaning it is analyzed in real time and immediately discarded, never stored.
Right. And the camera frames used to map the room geometry are never transmitted to the cloud either. Everything spatial stays localized to the physical cube in the room.
Which brings us to the software architecture document. It details exactly how that data routing works, relying on a highly orchestrated hybrid system.
Balancing edge computing with cloud computing to manage latency and cost.
Exactly. The edge computing everything happening locally on the cube's internal processor handles the immediate low latency tasks. It uses an engine called Porcupine to listen for the wake word.
So the microphone isn't constantly streaming audio to the internet while it waits.
Right. It utilizes a local version of Whisper for speech-to-text fallback, and it processes all of the complex projection mapping algorithms right there on the hardware. Pushing those tasks to the edge is critical.
Because you can't have a two-second latency delay when a kid asks a question.
And you certainly don't want to pay exorbitant cloud computing fees just to calculate the angle of a bedroom wall.
Fair point. But the processor inside the cube is not powerful enough to actually generate a compelling dynamic narrative.
No, not at all. That heavy lifting is instantly offloaded to the cloud, where four distinct AI models have to fire simultaneously.
Four models at once?
Yes. They use Claude Sonnet to act as the narrative brain, maintaining the logic and state of the story. They trigger DALL-E 3 to generate the real-time illustrations that get beamed to the projectors.
Okay.
They utilize Musician to compose an adaptive audio score that reacts to the tension in the story. And 11 Labs to synthesize the natural, human-sounding character voices.
Managing the API calls for four different foundational models simultaneously without breaking the immersion of the story is incredibly complex.
It is a massive technical challenge.
But the financial models show a surprising upside to this architecture. Due to the massive deflation in AI inference costs over the last 24 months, the estimated monthly cloud compute cost to run all those heavy models is only about $2.59 per active device.
That is shockingly low.
Right. So when the subscription revenue is bringing in 10 euros a month, the unit economics are actually highly sustainable.
But the content itself isn't just randomized entertainment. What's really fascinating here is the pedagogical layer they call stealth education.
Stealth education. I love that term.
The goal isn't just to replace a screen. It's to transform the physical room into an interactive learning environment. The system operates on three distinct developmental tiers.
Break those down.
You have seedlings for ages 3 to 5, explorers for ages 5 to 7, and adventurers for ages 7 to 10. The primary language model, Claude, is given strict system prompts to seamlessly weave age-appropriate educational concepts into the narrative based on the user's tier.
The examples in the documentation really clarify how this works in practice. So if a 4-year-old seedling is interacting with a story about a dragon, the AI doesn't pause to deliver a math lecture.
No, that would ruin the fun.
Right. It naturally prompts the child to count the projected dragon eggs on the wall or identify the colors of the dragon's scales. It's stealthily teaching basic numeracy and vocabulary.
But if a 9-year-old adventurer is using the system, the narrative shifts completely. They might be placed in a historically accurate quest where they have to utilize multiplication to unlock a secret door or solve a puzzle rooted in actual geography.
So the kid is entirely immersed in a spatial game while passively absorbing curriculum-aligned concepts.
It represents a fundamental shift towards spatial immersive learning. But conceptualizing a hybrid AI education device and actually putting it on retail shelves are two very different realities.
Hardware is notoriously unforgiving.
Extremely. And the project management timeline highlights the sheer scale of the execution risk here.
The roadmap details a rigorous 4-phase rollout. When you look closely at phase 1, which covers the first 6 months, there is a critical engineering milestone in month 3. they're required to completely freeze the magnetic connector specification.
And freezing that spec is the make-or-break moment for the entire ecosystem. The engineers have to lock in the exact voltage, the physical pin layout, and the data transfer protocol for those magnetic pogo pins.
Who's going back?
None. Because if they discover a flaw in month 6 and need to change that spec, they instantly break backward compatibility with every single stackable module they have already prototyped or planned to build in the future.
It dictates the entire supply chain from that moment forward.
And they are attempting to navigate that hardware gauntlet while simultaneously raising a seed round of 1.5 to 2 million euros.
This raises an important question. Is their market capture strategy realistic enough to justify that investment?
The financial projections in the investor brief actually provide a highly pragmatic, serviceable, obtainable market, or SOM, model. They're not trying to boil the ocean here.
No, they are deliberately targeting the European market first.
Right. And the strategy is built on the fact that consumer education in Europe has already been fully funded by their competitors.
Which is brilliant. In Germany, 1 in 2 children already owns a Tonybox.
1 in 2. Let that sink in.
It's massive. The parents there intimately understand the value proposition of a screen-free audio player. They don't need to be convinced.
So they aren't burning capital trying to invent a new consumer category. They are strategically swooping in to offer the ultimate premium upgrade to a massive pre-existing customer base.
Their SM model projects reaching approximately 250,000 active devices by year 5. That penetration would generate between 65 and 80 million euros in total annual revenue across the hardware sales and the software subscriptions.
And the most striking metric in the entire brief is that hitting that 65 million euro mark requires capturing a mere 0.03% of the total addressable households in their target markets.
It is a profoundly sober business model. They are modeling the steady capture of a highly specific premium demographic. Parents who are experiencing deep anxiety over screen time, whose kids have aged out of the basic plastic figurines, and who are actively seeking personalized educational value.
It makes a lot of sense on paper.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We have covered immense ground today by pulling apart these highly confidential sources. We looked at an $18 billion smart toy market that is currently being propelled by an intense universal parental anxiety.
A market ripe for disruption.
Absolutely. We dismantled a deeply complex parent-centric hardware ecosystem that relies on a hybrid edge-to-cloud architecture to orchestrate 4 different AI models simultaneously.
We examined the massive engineering and psychological hurdles of placing a 7-camera spatial projection system into a child's bedroom.
And how physical privacy slides and local processing are used to actually build real trust. Finally, we looked at the specific phased rollout and financial modeling of the AI Story Companion, seeing how it attempts to strategically draft off the success of static competitors like Tonybox.
If we step back from the supply chain logistics and the API latency costs, I want to leave you with a broader implication to consider. We are analyzing a system designed to use artificial intelligence to seamlessly weave personalized, age-appropriate educational concepts directly into a child's physical environment.
Transforming the room itself.
Exactly. It adapts in real time to their voice, their choices, and their developmental stage, without them ever once staring at a glowing screen.
Right.
If this invisible spatial form of computing is successfully integrated into early childhood, how might it fundamentally alter the way human beings learn, explore, and retain information from the very moment they are born? If the physical room itself becomes an interactive, adaptive teacher, the traditional boundaries of education may be completely redefined.
The idea that the most immersive technological future might actually be the one with the fewest screens is a powerful concept to hold on to. Thank you for joining us as we unpacked this stack of sources today. We appreciate you taking this deep dive with us, exploring the intersection of market data, hardware engineering, and human behavior. Keep questioning the technology around you, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.